This is Northumberland at 5.
Hey, good afternoon, Northumberland. It's Dan Jones in with you for another great hour of amazing local content. I've got four just fantastic interviews coming your way, plus local music by local artists. This is a show dedicated to everything Northumberland. So let's just get started because the show is jam-packed. An unexpected twist occurred on Tuesday at the Alan McHaldeman Township Council meeting, as council could not agree on a new integrity commissioner and third-party investigator. A bylaw to appoint a interim third party was defeated, but only after the contract to Principal's Integrity was canceled. I spoke to Mayor John Logal about this afterwards.
Because we thought we could get, we weren't happy with their service.
Did this follow the May 12th decision on the resignation letters in a closed session? Because the timing seems pretty strange. So 2 weeks ago you got that resignation letters, which was enclosed, and they said, well, you can move those into, you can release those and redact some information. And then 2 weeks later, you move away from the integrity commission you currently have. Is that the reason?
There was a bunch of reasons, but that's one of them, yes.
Now, apparently today you gave a 30-day notice to Principal Integrity, and there was a no vote on moving forward with a different company. Where does the township stand on having an integrity commissioner?
We don't have one until my understanding of it is that on the 16th we will not have an integrity commissioner, June 16th, unless we have someone come in place.
Now, are you legally obligated to have an integrity commissioner?
I believe, yes, we are.
Okay, so now we're going to have a special council meeting before this contract expires, or does it fall to the Ontario Ombudsman?
I don't know the answer to that.
Moving away from Principal Integrity and going to a new Integrity Commissioner, are you hoping they'll give you more favorable rulings in your favor? Or, I mean, how does that square up?
We're not looking for favoritism or anything else like that. There were some timing issues that it seemed to me to take, in my opinion, that's only my opinion, I'm only one of the voters, but there was an awful lot of delay time with having complaints with that commissioner.
Now, the May 12th letter from the commissioner was saying you guys could release the letters publicly, you can redact some personal information. You have done that in the past, but instead you've decided to put those letters in closed meeting. Why do that? Why the closed meeting for those resignation letters?
Because that's what was recommended by our clerk, and they know the law as well as anybody, and that was why I voted that way.
But the integrity commissioner said in past committee meetings you've released the resignation letters publicly and you've redacted personal information. So what's changed in the rationale there? Is it that they're critical of council?
The integrity commissioner?
No, the resignation letters. Are they too critical of council?
No.
Okay, so I mean, if there's technically nothing wrong with the letters themselves, why not just release them publicly?
Because there's personal information on there that's not to be released to the public.
And the integrity commissioner said you can redact that information.
Yes.
So then if you redact that information, there's nothing preventing you from releasing the entire document.
We could put on, we could leave the person's name on, and that's it.
And then
redact everything else.
You can put the person's name on, but you can also include the information as to why they are resigning. Am I right?
No.
You can't say why someone resigned or why they are critical of the direction of a committee. You can't release that publicly?
No.
Why not?
Because the person hasn't given us, I don't know. Okay. But if it was me, I would not have sending a letter and having it go public and putting everybody else in jeopardy, because that's why they're recommending it. That's what the ombudsman told us as well.
So if you get permission from that person to release it publicly, you would release it?
I don't know that. I'm only one vote out of three.
No, I mean, what would your recommendation be then at that point?
I told you that our clerk is experienced and knows what she's doing, and she recommended that it not be publicly released.
So, I mean, we got past that point to say, if someone gave you permission to release that document, what would you do? Would you vote in favor of releasing that document, or would you keep it enclosed?
If I was recommended to keep it enclosed, I would keep it enclosed.
Okay. Now, I'm being told there are upwards of 11 to 15 resignations on committees in this township. Is that accurate?
Over how many years?
This term.
That's possible.
What's that say to you, though, about the number of people resigning from committees?
They don't like the rules.
So 11 people don't like the rules, or they don't like the direction of council, or the committees go the direction of the committee going.
I don't know.
Okay. Is there anything else you can add, John?
Yes. We are a caring community. We appreciate volunteers, and we want to continue to encourage them to be involved.
That was Alan McAldaman Township Mayor John Logal speaking to me following a Tuesday council meeting in which they voted to move away from current Integrity Commissioner Principals Integrity. Mayor Logal says they have until June the 16th to find a new Integrity Commissioner. Garage Dog there. What's handed down quarter after five here on Northumberland at five. Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio. Dan Jones in with you for the next 45 minutes or so. Coburg Police Board Chair Adam Bureau says incoming police chief Chris Leather has owned his past statements as an RCMP leader in Nova Scotia during the April 2020 mass shootings. A public inquiry found that misstatements were given to the public following the massacre by Leather and others. Bureau says this incident was discussed with Leather during the hiring process, but that Leather has been accountable for his mistakes.
Well, first, let's go back to how we got started. After the chief, Paul Van de Graaff, announced his retirement, the board agreed to hire a company, Waterhouse, to do a candidate search, which is the proper process of going forward. And Waterhouse did an excellent job bringing us candidates. It was, I know the subcommittee, the board approved the subcommittee to go through the applications and bring candidates to the board meeting to final approve of the candidates. We must have put in that subcommittee hundreds of hours in going through the applications, meetings, interviews, second interviews, and the board agreed that Chris Leather would be the next chief.
Now take us inside your, I guess, the committee, the hiring committee, the three of you. What was the discussion around Chris's Nova Scotia experience?
Well, we looked at that and agreed that that was a mistake. He did own up to it. Since then, the RCMP has promoted him a few times. Everybody makes mistakes. It's how you handle it. And Chris, I think, handled it very well.
Now, when you talk about, I mean, the commission report said that there was some misstatements, confusion. Did you guys do a deep dive on his involvement in the mass shooting incident?
We did, and same with Waterhouse.
Going into that, what did Chris say to you about his time there and what transpired in April of 2020?
I want to get away from that because everybody knows that's out there. Yeah. It's all online. It happened. But we're moving forward on that. The wealth of knowledge that he is going to bring to Coburg is, to me, second to none. It will only benefit with his history, and he was the head of organized crime and taking drugs off the street. The major arrests that he has done, I think we're absolutely lucky to have somebody like that.
What was the vote on the board? If you give me a number, not really the names, but was it a close vote, unanimous vote? What was the number there?
Oh, everybody supported.
Okay, and on the accountability side, he's spoken to how he's taken accountability. Do you think that may be a hindrance in this community for him going forward to do his work?
No, I don't think so at all. I think he has great media presence. I think he is not afraid to talk to media. You can ask him any question you want, and he will answer. As you know, you interviewed him already.
Yeah. How do you think this will be received, or is being received, by the rank and file?
I think so far so good. Yeah, I think so far I haven't heard any complaints. I think the community is excited for the new chapter. I do want to give Chief Paul Van de Graaff a big shout out. The guy gave his heart and soul to Coburg. And I just want to wish him the best in his retirement. I think he's an amazing guy.
Now, Coburg has more of a community policing model where it seems it's small town policing, and that suits this community. Is that going to still be the same model going forward with Chris's leadership?
That'll be up to Chris when he lays out his plan. Let's let him get in, get settled, and then he'll get to work.
I mean, obviously you have had some discussions. He would have to lay out his vision during the interview process of kind of where he wants to go. Where do you think he is going to go?
I think he's going to be tough on crime. I think he's going to be a great leader for the officers. I think the history and knowledge that he has can only benefit Coburg.
Now, how do you compare the personalities of Paul Vandegraaff to Chris Leather? What can the community really expect?
Well, you can't really compare those personalities. That's like saying...
maybe contrast. How do you describe the differences then?
Well, Paul has his own leadership. He has his own style of leading, and I think any chief has their own style of leading. We all know the experiences of Chief Vandegraaff, and I think Chris will bring his own experiences and the way he leads.
Okay, anything else?
I can't wait for him to get started. It'll be June 1st, and excited, and I think we really did this right.
That was Cobourg Police Board Chair Adam Bureau discussing the recent hire of former RCMP officer Chris Leather to be Cobourg's new police chief. On the other side of the break, Nicola Magnolia. Stick around.
Hi, this is Jacqueline Sadler inviting you to join me on Sundays at 1:30 for Radi Yoga. You don't need to be a contortionist. You don't need a mat or special pants. Just bring your imagination and a willing heart. Together, we will stretch our bodies and stretch our minds in a yoga practice that is for everyone, everywhere, through the air. This is Radi Yoga on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Looking for a fun social activity this summer that's easy to learn? Join us June 6th at the Cobourg Lawn Bowling Club in Victoria Park, Cobourg, for our open house celebrating National Lawn Bowls Day. New to the game? No problem. Lawn bowling is low impact, easy to pick up, and great for all ages. Come on your own or bring friends and family. Enjoy fresh air, friendly faces, and a sport that's as relaxing as it is rewarding. Drop by Saturday, June 6th, anytime between 10 and 2 to give it a roll. Learn more at CobourgLawnBowlingClub.ca. Cobourg Lawn Bowling Club. Come roll with us.
Got something to say? Text us anytime on the Northumberland 897 text line. The number is 905-372-2321. Request a song, share a thought, or just join in on the conversation. The Northumberland 897 text line, proudly sponsored by Country Sign and Wraps, your source for Northumberland's printed outdoor event banners at countrysign.ca.
Hey Northumberland, it's Nicola Magnolia, and on June 11th, Victoria Hall in Cobourg, I'm bringing my album to life. Live for the very first time, and this night won't happen twice. It's more than a show, it's the event of the summer. With special guests joining me, still to be announced, we're already half sold out. And with limited seating, once it's gone, it's gone. Doors open at 7:30, the show's at 8. Buy 5 or more tickets and you could win a $2,000 prize package. Be in the room and get your tickets now through the Victoria Hall website. See you on June 11th. Your trouble.
I think about soft breeze and my tight squeeze. Your Harley. First time you told me you loved me. And how'd we get to kitchens and yelling? Dreams stuffed in boxes in the basement and cussing. Leaving doors slamming on your way out. From coasting down the open.
Misunderstanding each other. feeling. Dreams stuffed in boxes in the basement and cussing, leaving doors slamming on your way out. Coasting down the
shot there, Nicola Magnolia, Match Made in Hell. Before that, Harley, once again, she'll be having an album release party June 11th down at Victoria Hall in Coburg. We are a proud sponsor of that. Very talented musician. 5:30 here on Northumberland at 5. A group of grade 5 students from Hastings are creating change as they've advocated Trent Hills Council to provide free menstrual products. A movement called Period Poverty is highlighting the costs of monthly pads, tampons, and other products that could create undue financial hardship for some people. Reagan, Benjamin, and Spencer recently presented to council, and here's what they had to say.
Dear council members, I am reading to you because I believe feminine hygiene products should be free and available for everyone. I want them to be free in grocery stores, libraries, and food banks. It is estimated that feminine hygiene products in Canada cost around $4,500 to over $9,000 for only 40 years of use. The total should be way lower. I don't think that it is fair that women have to pay up to $9,000 and men don't. The average menstruating person would be using an estimated 11,000 products, which would cost roughly $4,500. Feminine hygiene products are very expensive, and a lot of menstruating women cannot afford them. 1 in 6 Canadians who menstruate have personally experienced period poverty. That is the same as 17% of people in Canada who have experienced it, meaning they couldn't afford or access the products they needed. There's a website called periodpin.ca that shows you the closest free period products. The closest period products are in Warkworth and Peterborough, but none in Hastings or Campbellford. We need them here, as not everyone is able to travel out of town to receive free products. I know that this will cost a lot of money. However, I believe there are still ways we can make it happen. We can start a fundraiser to raise enough money if we can't afford it. I'm sure that lots of other people would agree with me and donate. Even some men, if they have daughters or wives, and they sometimes buy them. Thank you for listening, and I am looking forward to a price drop and more available in my community.
Dear council members, I'm writing to you because feminine hygiene products are very limited to people that need them and can't afford them. For example, women that have 4 kids that menstruate can be unaffordable, especially because it costs around $30,000 in a lifetime for 5 people that menstruate in a household. And men don't have to pay at all unless they have a daughter. Some places already have them for free, like some parts in Hamilton, Toronto, Brampton, and Peterborough. But we want them so you can just grab a box and take it home. The closest to Hastings is Warkworth, and we want them in every town and city for free because it is discrimination for women. If men don't have to pay this added cost, then women shouldn't either.
I live in Hastings, Ontario, and I'm in the 5th grade. Women are spending around $6,000 on feminine hygiene products in their lifetime, not including if they have children. I think the current system is discriminatory to women who are in their menstrual cycle. I think that women should be supplied with the menstrual products they need for a very low price or free. Some women in the northern and western provinces like Alberta have to pay almost double of Ontario. Scotland has already made feminine hygiene products free to any woman who needs them, and I think we should too. Some places have very few places with free tampons or other products. I went on the periodpin.ca and found out there are very few places around our community with free menstrual products. I want more places near us to have tampons and pads for free, and stores that let you take a box of them for free. If you have any daughters, they will also have a menstrual cycle and have to buy menstrual products too. 1 in 6 women who menstruate experience period poverty, which is when women don't have enough money to afford tampons or pads and afford groceries at the same time. That is unacceptable, and women should not have to deal with period poverty.
Trent Hills Council has asked staff to prepare a report on the cost of providing these free menstrual products in libraries in Hastings, Campbellford, and Warkworth. Now, that report could come back to council as soon as next month.
Hi, it's Brian Ostrander, Mayor of the Municipality of Brighton. Please join me in supporting Northumberland 89.7's Radiothon June 12th to the 14th. Your local and loud community radio station keeps us informed and celebrates our incredible local talent. Tune in, bid in the auction, and help keep community radio strong.
Special thanks to Cameco and Books in Line.
Looking for something magical, mystical, and a little unexpected? New slip dresses, pixie crop dusters, and scarves from Market of Stars, and enchanting new arrivals have just landed at the Black Rabbit Mystical Emporium in Port Hope. Explore fresh shipments, including stunning pieces from France's Voglio Benet. You'll also discover one-of-a-kind finds like a vintage altar vanity, whimsical curiosities, and hand-forged garden decor tucked throughout the shop. Visit the Black Rabbit Mystical Emporium at 54 John Street, Port Hope, and online at theblackrabbit.ca. The Black Rabbit Mystical Emporium, where the magic begins.
This is Sherry from Port Hope Public Library, your destination for inspiration, imagination, and information. PHPL's Friends of the Library Spring Trunk and Table Sale is this coming Saturday, May 30th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the Mary J. Benson parking lot. Spots are $35, and sellers keep 100% of their proceeds. To register and pay, email phfriendsol@gmail.com. And if you love to shop a yard sale, don't miss it. Rain or shine, the sale goes on. The PHPL Hub Branch in Canton is open. Join us for our new drop-in preschool story time, designed just for little ones ages 3 to 6, every Monday morning at 11 a.m. We'll sing songs and read in the cozy kids' corner, building vocabulary, listening skills, and a love of reading. The library will be closed on Friday, May 29th, for a staff development day. We apologize for any inconvenience. While we're closed, you can still enjoy our digital collection anytime with our online e-resources. As always, check out our new and ongoing library programs on our website at porthopepubliclibrary.ca and on our social media.
And now, Northumberland Humane Society Pet of the Week, brought to you by Northumberland 89.7 FM. Meet Putty, a sweet and affectionate senior dog looking for his forever home. Don't let his age fool you. This lovable boy is still full of energy, loves his walks, and does great on leash. Putty could do well with kids and possibly other pets with proper introductions. Visit northumberland897.ca or stop by the shelter to meet Putty today, because every pet deserves a loving home.
It's a long road to travel, but I'll travel here with you. Can't think of anything better that I'd rather do. My love, love, my love for you. Loving you is easy, I don't even have to try. Don't matter where you're going, when you're by my side. My love, love, my love for you. My love. Fight the fight with me. Our pockets may be empty. Baby, you're all I need. My love, my love, love for you. It's a hard road to follow. Too long to go alone. I find you in my heart. I find you in my bones. My love, love, my love. It's a long road to heaven, I'll get there when I die. When I do, I'll wait for you on the other side. My love, love, my love for you. It's a long road to travel, I'll travel here with you. Can't think of anything better, live my life with you. My love, love, my love for you. My love.
Come, guys. gather round me hearties and a tale I'll sing to you. I swear upon the holy book that every word is true, and if you listen closely ye may learn a thing or two about the fate that may await ye on the ocean blue.
Hey!
Me name is Charlie Riley, and a gunner's mate I be. I bought a pirate vessel that we call the Liberty. Me life's a great adventure, and to no one I'm indentured. We live like princes as we sail upon the Caribbean. If I far from terra firma on the day that I should die, no carved stone shall mark where for eternity I lie. No cold, or ground, no dirt, no sod shall ever cover me. Drake the black flag o'er me body, and then bury me at sea. Stitch me up in the old hammock with two brown shot at me feet, and toss me in the ocean where I'll settle to the deep. Give me body to the fishes and me soul to Davy Jones. I'll finally rest in peace when I'm not but soggy bones.
Hey!
A short one, but a merry one. We serve no king, nor crown, nor flag. We do whate'er we please. We pillage and we plunder, and for sure it is no wonder that we are the fiercest bastards never sail the seven seas. I've seen my share of action, and at times it can get hot. Unlikely wind up blown to bits, or stabbed, or caught, or shot. And on the day I'm laid below, don't shed a tear for me, for I've made me fame and fortune, living merrily and free. Stitch me up in the old hammock with two brown shot at me feet, and toss me in the ocean where I'll settle to the deep. Give me body to the fishes and me soul to Davy Jones. I'll finally rest in peace when I'm not but soggy bones.
Hey!
That's Madman's Window, Soggy Bones. We got ourselves 16 away from 6 o'clock here on Northumberland at 5. Well, fresh off unveiling a new greens shed, the Coburg Lawn Bowling Club is set to embark on a new season. The club, located at Victoria Park, overlooking beautiful Lake Ontario, received an Ontario Trillium Foundation grant of approximately $45,000 to construct the new shed, as the previous aging building was rotting and leaking. I spoke to club president Bill Arthur about the shed, the grant, and the upcoming season.
We were in need of a new equipment shed. Our old equipment shed was about 30, 35 years old, didn't have a solid foundation. It was just based on pavers. The wood was rotting, the weather was getting in, and obviously we didn't want the weather damaging the expensive greens equipment that we have. So we recognised the need for this. We contacted various contractors, got some estimates, did a design. Because we're part of the heritage area of the town, we had to get heritage approval for the plans as well as building approval for the plans. So we went through all that process and made sure we had our ducks in a row before we actually made the application. And we made an application for $44,600. which thankfully was approved, and that gave us the go-ahead to build the new equipment shed.
Now, do you have the new equipment shed built?
Yep, we started. We started in the middle of the winter with the foundations, and when the weather permitted, they started framing, and it was all finished in time for our opening, which was last weekend on May the 9th.
So I know the property itself that you guys occupy, it can be cramped. So how do you? Did you have to move the greens equipment out to another location? And how did that process unfold?
We were fortunate because at the end of last season, anything, the smallest stuff we were able to store in the clubhouse. So things like scoreboards and delivery mats. So that all got stored in the clubhouse. One of the guys got a trailer and took it, and he had a large garage at his property. He stored some of the stuff, and the rest was kept in our existing shed. We have two sheds. We have one for games equipment and one for grounds equipment. So we were able to move things around and make room once the old shed was demolished. So, yeah, so it was partly in the clubhouse, it was partly a member's garage, and it was partly in the existing shed.
Right on. So let's move on to the start of the season. I know a lot of bowling clubs are getting ready. I mean, are you guys starting to get your leagues organized, new members coming on? How's that going?
Yeah, that's going pretty well. We started around about February time with just word of mouth existing members, with the curling club, because curlers are a good source of new membership. And also quite a lot of stuff we did on Facebook and on our website. So we started advertising free lessons back in February, and gradually it's built up, and currently we have 50 people signed up for lessons. So we allow people to have two free lessons before they need to join, before they make a decision on joining, I should say. So that started, we opened on Saturday, as I say, and we did our first lessons yesterday. So we set a target this year of 20 new members. We hope to achieve that target, and if we can exceed it, we'll be very happy.
Now let's talk about the membership. I know that there's some clubs in decline, there's some clubs growing. How would you classify where your membership stands now?
I think the last couple of years we've been static. We were down to about 70 in the COVID years, and then we did a big campaign when we opened again after COVID. We were fortunate to get a grant, a Resilient Communities grant, which was specifically to recover from COVID, and we did a lot of publicity that year, and we went up to about 130 members, and then last year we went to 136. So it's been static the last couple of years after that big increase after COVID, but it does mean that the majority of our members have been bowling for only 3 or 4 years now.
Oh, okay. So you're getting a newer crop of people coming through.
Yeah. I mean, that poses some problems in teaching people and coaching them. But it's also very good because it's got a new intake of people who are keen and happy to volunteer. And quite a lot of, I think, 3 or 4 of those people who came in 22 are now on the board. And that's great to get that new blood in and keep things going.
Some new enthusiasm, some new ideas.
Yeah.
No, that's amazing. Now, all lawn bowlers, there's a big aspect to lawn bowling they care about is the greens, the conditions, the speed, the whatnot. How would you classify your greens going in this year?
At the beginning of our season, our head greenskeeper, he looked at the greens and people were saying, oh, there's yellow spots on it and it's not looking great. And Mike said, it's fine. It's a lot better than it's been in past winters. And since, well, we haven't exactly got warmer weather yet, but it is starting to come. They're slow at the moment. Once we get a few more weeks into the season, they'll start to reduce the height of the cut on the mowers, and things will gradually speed up. By the middle of the season, we'd expect our greens to be in really good condition. In terms of speed, they're probably around 12 or 13. We rate the speed of greens from how long it takes a ball to go down the green, and the shorter it takes. So, like for example, a 9-minute green, the ball comes up short. If the greens are fast, a 13, 14-second green, the balls will keep rolling and go further.
Now, do you find the Lake Ontario effect creates more moisture on your greens?
Yeah, I mean, because of the water level, we get flooded fairly quickly. We drain not too bad, but yeah, it does have an effect. I mean, after the rain on Tuesday night, by the middle of the afternoon yesterday, when I walked on the greens, the water was still coming up when I walked on them. So it does take a little time, but generally speaking, our greens are really good. Bowlers who come from other clubs are always very complimentary about them.
Right on. And I know you have an open house coming up in a few weeks, actually. What can we expect there?
Well, it's June the 6th, which is also National Bowls Day. So we have a club tournament, so people will be able to watch some of the tournament. The open house runs from 10 till 2. People can just drop by when they want. We can demonstrate, we can tell them all about lawn bowls. They can try rolling some bowls themselves. The theme from Bowls Canada this year for National Bowls Day is Bowl Like a Pro. We're very lucky that we have a member of Team Canada who's a member of the club, Bailey Van Stein. So she's going to be there. We're not quite sure what she's going to be doing yet. I did suggest to her that we did a Challenge Bailey competition, but she said, I'm not sure. But I think probably Bailey will be able to tell people her experience. And if we can get some kids coming along and she can talk to them and explain to them, she started at 8 years old in Coburg, and now she's travelled the world as a member of Team Canada at age 25. And it's a great example of what a younger person can achieve in this sport.
That was Coburg Lawn Bowling Club President Bill Arthur speaking to me about the upcoming lawn bowling season. And I was just talking to him today, and two new members have signed up. So check out the open house come June the 6th. On the other side of the break, community announcements.
Hi, I'm Sarah Jacob of SMM Law Professional Corporation. We can assist you with wills, powers of attorney, real estate, business transactions, construction liens, small claim court matters. If we can't help you with something, we will find you someone who can. Call SMM Law at 905-372-3395 or email hello@smmlaw.com. SMM Law, we are here for you.
Hey, Northumberland. Take a scenic drive through the beautiful apple blossoms and head to Colburn this Saturday, May 30th for the Apple Blossom Time Festival. Enjoy a full day of free family fun with bouncy castles, face painting, a magic show, live music, and more. Start the morning with a delicious pancake breakfast, check out the classic car show, and relax in the beer tent with friends. Don't miss one of the sweetest festivals of the season. Find details on Facebook at the Apple Blossom Time Festival official page. See you in Colburn this Saturday.
Here's what's happening in Northumberland.
Hi, this is Andrea with What's Happening. The Warkworth Lilac Festival. Take a drive to the pretty village of Warkworth and enjoy lilac displays, boutiques, music, food and fun, and stroll the Millennial Trail along the river and enjoy a beautiful display of dozens of different and rare varieties of lilacs. Saturday and Sunday, May 30th and 31st from 10 to 4. Apple Blossom Festival in downtown Colborne. The ceremony starts at 9 a.m. in Victoria Square. There's entertainment, vendors, activities, a baby contest, a junior pageant, and so much more to see and do, including a car and tractor show that starts at 9 a.m., and that's at 154 Big Apple Drive. The festival takes place Saturday, May 30th. Northumberland Home, Garden and Leisure Show. Explore over 70 local businesses. The doors open at 9 and it's Saturday and Sunday, the 30th and 31st at the Coburg Community Centre. The Northumberland Humane Society Thrift Store is having a yard sale fundraiser Saturday, May 30th, and it's held at 24 Covert Street in Coburg. Friends of the Port Hope Library Spring Fundraising Trunk and Table Sale is Saturday, May 30th, and it starts at 8 a.m. on Queen Street in Port Hope. The 4th Annual Goose Ball, a magical evening of art, fashion, music, and community, is Saturday, May 30th. It starts at 5:30 at the Port Hope Town Park Recreation Center.
If you have an upcoming event you'd like us to share, email info@northumberland897.ca.
morning. You're up before the dawn. Said that you were leaving. Now I know that I was wrong.
Stacey Doherty. I guess he just wanted a friend here. It's going to about do it for me today. It's been a great hour with you guys. But before I head out, Northumberland 89.7's Radiothon is taking place June 12th, 13th, and 14th. And this year's musical lineup is bigger and better than ever. So join us for a live incredible weekend of local music featuring Harry Hanna, Georgia Rose, Maria Lochner, Astrid Young, the Hippie Chicks, and the fabulous Tone Masters. Support loud and local community radio while enjoying amazing entertainment, live guests, auctions, prizes, and more. As well, if you're looking for something to do this weekend, head on down to Colburn for the Appletime Blossom Festival, which is just a great activity. There's pancake breakfast, a beer tent, car show, and so much more. Check it out on their Facebook page at Apple Blossom Time Fest. Official Facebook page. Coming up on the other side of the break, I'll be back with your local news. Have yourselves a great evening, everybody. Take care.